Good afternoon. In John chapter 8, verse 44, the devil is called a liar, indeed the father of lies. He tries to destroy our faith and steal our joy. The Bible says he is an accuser, he is a slanderer, he is a tempter, and he tries to condemn us. The enemy lies about God and he lies about you.
Is that on?
He says things like this: you're a lazy, pathetic person. Or you are horrible, no one loves you. Why would God love you? You are hopeless, you have no ability, you can't keep a job. You say you love God, but in fact you can't spend 10 minutes in prayer. Some Christian you are. You've never led anyone to Christ. You're a deviant. You're addicted to pornography. You're controlled by lust. Many people do not live in victory over the evil one because they do not know their identity in Christ. And they do not put on the armor of God. Christ has won the victory over Satan. But we have to believe God and reject Satan's lies, his temptations, his accusations, and his condemnation. You don't have to scream at the devil. You just have to affirm the truth of who you are in Christ. The devil will flee. It is a truth encounter, not a power encounter. It is about discipleship, not deliverance. See, demons have no claim on us as we have been delivered forever from Satan's kingdom of darkness and have entered Jesus' kingdom of light. Colossians 1, 13 and 14 says this: for he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins.
哥罗西书一章的13节到14节说，耶稣救了我们脱离黑暗的权势，把我们牵到他爱子的国里，我们在爱子里得蒙救赎，过犯得以赦免。Let
me say something right at the beginning of this message. Christ has defeated the enemy, the devil, Satan.
那我在分享信息前先说两句，就是基督已经打败了魔鬼，打败了撒旦。
Colossians chapter 2, verse 15 says, and having disarmed the powers and authorities, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross. The victory came at the cross. The place where Jesus dealt with the problem of our sins and conquered and disarmed the evil angels. Friend, the picture is of conquered soldiers stripped off their clothes as well as their weapons and paraded before the conquering king's citizens. That's the truth. Christ has already triumphed over the evil powers. Christ has been raised from the dead and is seated at God's right hand in the heavenly realms. Where is he? Far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every title that can be given, not only in the present age, but also in the one to come. Christ's triumph over the powers has already occurred. So as believers, we no longer live in fear of them. But it's not over yet. At the end of the book of Ephesians, having spent 5.5 chapters describing the blessings of God in Christ, he reminds the believers of their opposition. For though defeated, Satan and his demons are not yet fully destroyed. That won't happen until the final judgment when Jesus returns. And the demons are mad, they're real mad, they're red hot mad. They want to cause as much trouble in your life as they can. The devil is at work in unbelievers, Ephesians 2 verse 1 and 2, and he seeks to destroy our faith and our life. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour, 1 Peter chapter 5 verse 8.
以前五章八节说，你们的仇敌魔鬼如同吼叫的狮子，遍地游行，寻找可吞吃的人。There
will come a day when this spiritual conflict will end, but for now we use the resources of God to stand against him.
将来有一天属灵的征战将会停止，但是我们现在需要使用神的资源来抵挡。And
so, firstly, we say, be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power.
所以我们首先说，我们要靠着主。
Make no mistake here, there's an ongoing spiritual battle with the powers of darkness. We need to be strengthened by God and His power. Be strong means be made strong, be strengthened by God.
靠主刚强，就是我们是被动的，我们靠着主得的刚强。The
strength does not come from yourself, but the strength comes from God to defeat the evil one.
我们的力量不是从我们自己来，而是从外边的自恋，就是从神而来。For
our struggle, it says in verse 12, is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Our true enemies are not human but demonic. Behind every human attack and trial is the work of the evil one. And when you come to Christ and get rid of your New Age crystals, you get rid of your idols, you get rid of pornography, you get rid of gambling, you get rid of an adulterous relationship, Satan will not be happy and he will often attack quickly. When you put God first, Satan is not happy. We have two people who are going to be baptized today. We want them to be ready for Satan's attacks. Because they are saying when they are baptized that Jesus is Lord and they will not follow Satan any longer. Satan will not like that. People have often told me that soon after they accepted Christ, they felt strong opposition from the evil one. Things just seemed to go wrong. I tell you why, Satan wasn't happy. But God is bigger and stronger than Satan. He defeated him on the cross and he will be there for you. Verse 11 says, put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. We are to put on the full armor, or a complete set of instruments used in defensive or offensive warfare, which was worn by the heavenly or the heavily armed foot soldier. We put on the full armor, not just part of it, all of it, to be protected fully. The enemy is powerful, he is wicked, and he is cunning. If we are to stand strong against his schemes, bear fruit for Christ, rejoice in the Lord always, then we must put on the full armor of God. So what are his schemes or strategies? Accusation. Slander. Temptation. Lies. Condemnation. He does whatever he can to discredit God and to harm the church. So God has given us the spiritual armor to put on. We must stand firm and put on God's armor. And I want you to look over there, because we're going to demonstrate this new armor. If Brett is here. Welcome then, put your hands together. It's a picture of a soldier, and the first thing he must put on is the belt of truth, we're told. Stand firm then with a belt of truth buckled around your waist. See, many see truth as the good news of the gospel. It is only this truth that can dispel the devil's lies and set us free. See, Satan is determined to undermine the work of the Holy Spirit who leads us into all the truth. Someone said to me after they committed their life to Christ, I can't believe that Jesus would forgive my past. I committed so many sins and types of sins that I am embarrassed and ashamed. The deceiver was at work. Will God really forgive after what you have done? The truth is yes, because of the cross of Jesus we celebrate on Good Friday. But some people think we're not just talking about the truth of the gospel, but the importance of sincerity and integrity. We are not to be deceitful, to lapse into hypocrisy, to resort to intrigue and scheming. That is to play the devil's game. We believe the gospel of truth and we tell the truth. If you lie and deceive, then you give the devil an opportunity to work. You must have on the belt of truth. Secondly, we must put on the breastplate of righteousness, the Bible says. There are two options of what Paul means here. Righteousness in Paul's letters often means justification, God declaring sinners righteous through Christ. In Romans 8 verse 1, we read, "Therefore there is now no condemnation for those in Christ Jesus. We are righteous before him." When you know your position in Christ, the evil one doesn't have a chance, and joy fills your heart. On the other hand, Paul uses the word in reference to moral righteousness. A righteousness of character and conduct. If you cultivate truth, you can overthrow the devil's deceits. If you cultivate righteousness, you resist his temptations. So you can choose forgiveness rather than unforgiveness. Faithfulness rather than adultery. Humility rather than pride. Purity rather than lust. You'll resist his temptations. Put on the breastplate of righteousness. Thirdly, the Bible says we must put on gospel boots. A readiness to announce the good news of peace. In other words, let your feet be ready to move with the gospel. Feet are for moving from one place to another. And if the readiness is readiness of the gospel, it probably means be ready to move with the gospel. Move with gospel power and for gospel purposes. It is almost certain that Paul has in mind the words of Isaiah 52, verse 7. How beautiful on the mountains are the feet of those who bring good news, who proclaim peace, who bring good tidings, who proclaim salvation, who say to Zion, your God reigns. So put on your gospel boots and invite people to church next week for Easter. Put on your gospel boots and tell people in your family about Jesus. We don't just put on the belts, we don't just put on the breastplate, but we put on our shoes and we go with the gospel. Fourthly, take up the shield of faith to extinguish the attacks of the evil one. The word Paul uses for shield doesn't denote the small round shield which left most of the body unprotected, but the long rectangular one which covered the whole person. Faith will protect you from the evil one.
Paul
What are the flaming arrows of the evil one? What does he shoot at us? What does the devil shoot at us? Accusations that lead to false guilt. In Revelation 12:10, he is called the accuser of the brethren. Other arrows are thoughts of doubt and disobedience, rebellion, lust, malice and fear. He shoots them at us. We must defend with faith, the shield of faith. When Satan attacks you, you put up your shield of faith. And the arrows will bounce off. Because you're in Jesus. Faith lays hold of the promises of God in times of doubt and depression, and faith lays hold of the power of God in times of temptation. And then the helmet of salvation. God's saving power is our defense against the enemy of our souls. And we hope he can breathe in there. See, God has saved us. Don't let the devil confuse you. Put on the helmet of salvation. And then pick up the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. The sword is not used to kill people. No, it symbolizes the Word of God. Our weapon is the Word of God. We use it in defense, in testimony, in resisting temptation, and in evangelism as we take the message to the world. When Jesus was tempted in the wilderness, he quoted the Word of God. The second time Satan tempted him and Jesus quoted the Word of God. The third time he tempted him and Jesus quoted the Word of God. You use the Word of God against the enemy. That's why we must read the Word every day. We must memorize it. We must let it be in our heart and on our lips. John 1:2 says, I write to you, young men, because you are strong, and the Word of God lives in you, and you have overcome the evil one. So you put on all the armor of God, all the blessings of God, to stand. But you must also watch and pray. A godly servant of God must bend down and pray. Because it is a spiritual battle. And Paul writes, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and keep on praying for all the saints. Pray also for me that whenever I open my mouth, words may be given me so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly as I should.
6:18,
In the battle for joy and in the battle against the evil one, prayer must pervade all our spiritual warfare. Prayer expresses our God dependency. Prayer gives us power to overcome the evil one. Prayer opens the way for gospel opportunities. Prayer gives us the courage to speak the gospel fearlessly. Paul reminds us to be alert, to watch and pray, to have our eyes open to what the evil one is doing. Peter writes, be self-controlled and alert. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. But James chapter 4 verse 7 gives us a strategy to resist him. Submit yourselves then to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Submit to God. Resist him with the armor of God. And he will flee. Let me conclude. We are victorious in our relationship with Christ. So let's pray for the strength to resist the devil so that he will flee from us. And pray for the advance of the kingdom of God in the world, the advance of the gospel against the powers of darkness and unbelief. Amen. We should thank our soldier. And, let us pray. God, we thank you that Jesus has victory over the evil one. We thank you that you have forgiven us and made us your children. Thank you for the power of the Holy Spirit who lives in us. Help us to stand firm in Jesus. Help us to put on the armor of God every day. That we would live for your glory. We thank you, God. And we pray this Easter season that we would glorify you and worship you on Good Friday and Easter Sunday. And we pray today as we hear testimony and watch two people being baptized, that glory would come to you. And we pray that you will protect the people being baptized from the evil one. That they would be so filled with the Holy Spirit that they would resist him and live for Jesus. We pray in the powerful name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen. Thank you.